Hey, y'all, how we doing? Shout out to Bear Nation for tuning in for another episode of The Bear Necessities of Entrepreneurship, a podcast for the entrepreneur-minded, created by entrepreneurs, discussing the real stories that give you the tools to overcome challenges and stay true to your real self. As always, I want to give a shout out to our partners over at Finn. Finn is a social good platform that creates employee engagement and builds culture. We've teamed up with Finn to give back to the communities that we serve. For every episode, we will be donating $10 to the cause of choosing by our guest in the Finn platform. Enjoy today's episode. Bear Nation, what is up? We are back again for this week's edition of the Bear Necessities of Entrepreneurship podcast. And I am sitting here with my guest, Josh Jackson. Josh is the co-founder and CEO of Promptuous. He is an insurtech entrepreneur with expertise in product management and tech commercialization. He holds his bachelor's degree in international relations and a master's degree in information management from Syracuse University. He's obsessed with everything about startups and has experience working in B2B startups. His career journey actually started at his father's dental practice in Queens, New York, as dental assistant and later office manager. And working in this dental insurance directly, he saw how, antiquated the product experience was for patients and providers. Dental insurance company insurance is complex. If anyone's out there has ever had their teeth fixed, cleaned, done, you probably know. And it's hard to understand the benefits. No one really knows anything, and insurance companies are incentivized to deny your claims. Frustrated, Josh, would you still be millennial? You're still in the millennial, right? You're on the millennial Gen Z border, right?
Call me millennial. That's fine. That goes.
I know it's on the edge, but he's a millennial entrepreneur who saw an opportunity to change and build a modern dental benefits experience that embodies transparency, communication, and instant payments. So he knows that dental insurance sucks, and so he co-founded Promptuous to change that and make using dental benefits as frictionless and simple as getting a cup of coffee at Starbucks, which sometimes that's more complicated than you may think at Starbucks when you get a double shot mocha with oat milk, almond, extra latte, froth, whatever. Anyways, I'm just making that up. But Josh, thanks for being a part of Bear Nation. Thanks for joining us. Say hi to Bear Nation for me.
Hey, Bear Nation. Rob, thank you so much for having me on. Really excited to talk and share more of what we're doing about Promptuous and my own journey here.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think the only fair way to start is for those out there listening, with many episodes, I bring in people that at some point in my life have entered in some ways, different shapes and forms. So Josh, why don't you share a little bit of context of how you and I got to know each other first and our journey leading up to, I mean, we talked pre-show and Josh gave me some amazing updates. We haven't probably talked for almost a year now, but why don't you share a little context about how you and I met for the first time?
Yeah. So Rob and I go way back to the Startup Boost program, which is a fantastic pre-accelerator program that focuses on helping global startups scale their businesses, tech-focused, and really equipping them to get into accelerator programs. So it was a very ripe time for my business to join that program. And Rob and his team have just been absolute fantastic mentors, both inside the program and out in our startup journey. He's just someone who is there when you need him, the good times, the bad times. And frankly, as a startup founder, you need those people around you to really make sure you're heading in the right direction and grow. So we then went on to a second program, which was hosted by Hapday, which is B2B sales. And that program really helped us think about our sales strategy and execution and helped us get to where we are today. So that's a little bit of the context there.
Yeah, so we got to do two different programs together, and you know, I was actually thinking that Startup Boost seemed like such a long, long time ago. And you know, you talked about in that intro I read out about your journey into entrepreneurship and seeing like frustrated about this, and So you're getting your degrees. And if I'm mistaken, did you start Promptus while still at school, or is that kind of like right after? Because I know that all this kind of intertwined. So like, tell me about this experience, like working for your father in the dental office, but also being like, fuck, this sucks. Let's change it. And like also getting a master's degree. So how did you balance all that and kind of begin like, I want to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, throughout the journey of my life, I always wanted to create something that I could call my own. Mm-hmm. And so throughout college, I dabbled around, like I'm sure many other, you know, people in school, with many different entrepreneurial ideas, just hoping and seeing which one is going to stick. There were a few month efforts that, you know, sometimes they ended until I really came across Promptus as the thing I decided I wanted to do. But it was more about, you see, a personal choice, right? That one day I took and I said to myself, like, okay, sometimes you're on this fork in life, right? You're on this road where you got to say to yourself, you know, am I going to kind of do it or am I going to do it, right? Yeah. And I woke up one day and I just said, you know, I know this is probably going to be a few year journey if it really goes in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. But I would say that's more of the context for my own individual aspirations, where dental really came to play in my life was, yes, working at my father's office. I mean, the funny and the whole ironic thing about what I'm doing is, when I was growing up, I said I'd never see myself having a career in insurance. I hate insurance. I hate everything to do with insurance, like most people do. And just I didn't even want to understand it at some points. But, you know, the more I learned about the system and how it works and how complicated it is, the more driven I was to find a better solution for dental.
So, you know, when you think about that, and weaving into everything that you do, you know, building something was important to you. And you know, when you look at getting a business degree and a master's degree, were those for entrepreneurship? Were those because you wanted to do business? Were those because you weren't sure what you wanted to do? Mm-hmm. Like, what was like the impetus of like, I'm going to go get a master's degree and do this schooling, but also like, launch a business?
Yeah, absolutely. So my undergraduate program, you know, I was always interested in international relations and affairs. I wasn't sure at the time of what I really wanted to do as a career in life. I knew that my end goal was, what would ultimately make me happy was doing my own business at the end of the day and launching and maybe starting at a few companies. And I really had that approach even into my master's program. But I did have a more specific interest in technology, and I wanted to understand how to build tech platforms, how to build enterprise systems. And that's why I did my master's program in information management, because I knew that I wanted to start a tech business. And I knew that having a foundation and surrounding myself with like-minded people who wanted to do similar things was really going to take me far. So I leaped in the program and I took some fantastic courses that really set a great foundation for everything I needed to know about at least getting started and getting my hands dirty.
Love that. And so when did the actual let's do Promptus start? What was that moment? Because I know you did a short program in Syracuse and you and your co-founders all went to school together. So when was that moment?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, the moment itself took place in the blockchain management course, right? That was a course that I was enrolled in at Syracuse University. It was a very hot time for blockchain, right? Like now what we're going through. And there was a real opportunity because no one was doing anything. Forget blockchain. Nobody was doing anything for dental. Nobody was doing anything for dental benefits. It was a black box in the economy. And there are no companies that are addressing the pain points that consumers are facing today. So it was through those presentations that I made that with my team, we were really so excited about the concept and the opportunity to really create a better solution. And I think it was just when everything led up to the final presentation at Fordham University, at the Blockchain Disruptor Conference, where I was presenting to a crowd of around 400 or 500 people, and there Phil, my co-founder, there he was in the audience, and that he was helping me kind of prepare for it, because it was the first big presentation I made. And I think it just accumulated everything to that moment where, we kind of said to ourselves, like, this is a real opportunity. We're going to do this. We're going to actually step out. Before that, about a few weeks before that, I committed to it personally. But, that's really when the whole team got together and said, we're going to take this thing forward. And we did. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I love that happened on stage at a conference, speaking. And then, like, as you come out of that, it's like, shit, that's pretty cool. Let's do this. So how did you go about formulating this co-founding team? Like, what was that?
Yeah.
I mean, I talk a lot of founders. It's like they started by themselves or whatever, but like you started with two other buddies of yours. Like, how did this relationship and how did this partnership start? And what was it like at the very beginning? How do you define clearly these things? Like, what was that process?
It was pretty unconventional, I would say. There's a famous Elon Musk saying that, in order to start a successful business, you need to surround yourself with really great, amazing people.
Yeah.
And that was the mindset that I was going into this with and saying, in order to create a great company, we need to get great people on the team. And so I tapped into my network, into the master's program, the iSchool, and I just, it sounds kind of crazy, but I just started dialing and I started telling them about what we're doing and, just sharing that this boat is leaving and we're taking off and we're trying to build a team around it. Mm-hmm. And that's really how I got, a lot of my close colleagues and friends at the iSchool to get their hands dirty with helping us out. And many of them are still with us today and as early employees, really building this thing. And I think that people really saw the vision and people saw that, really recognized the opportunity of what we could create here. So I was dialing, people just joined in. It was really informal, actually, to start, which is not recommended, right? Like, I don't recommend people take that approach, but it landed something good. And then we kind of made things more concrete as we went and really solidified things.
Mm-hmm. Were there any challenges early with personalities, figuring out duties, who owned what, who made decisions, what that process was like?
Yeah, I would say that, it was kind of like a pirate ship a little bit of, decision making and no real clear leadership from the beginning. It was more like we were all kind of taking lead over different things. Ownership, I would say that we pretty much solidified that early in the beginning. We were advised by a few mentors and advisors early on to really get that taken care of before things kind of got a little bit more sticky later down. So,
yeah. Well, I bring that up because I've had a couple different conversations on this, and it's really hard to like, hey, let's define duties when we don't know what they are. But at the same point, you need to know who's running point on what and who kind of has final say. And that's something that John Lennon and I talked about in an episode, and something that Phil DeVecchio, my business partner, Happy Day Group, and I did early. Like, we wrote out like this thing. In fact, he wrote me a 5-page letter of like goals, visions, plans, things we needed to do, how we were going to break this stuff up so that we can like make notes on it and then use that as a defining document. That obviously changed, right, as you go about. But I think it's really important early on is to create some level of ownership. And know that sometimes others have expertise that you don't. And as a CEO, and it's kind of the founder of like, hey, this is what I wanted to do. This is the thing I want to build. The ship is leaving. also making it very clear of like, you know a lot about this industry, like obviously for your dad and working for him, but you're not gonna be able to make every decision, do everything. So it's a very unique challenge. So what was it like, right out of, basically right out of college, running a business? What was that experience like? I mean, do
Yeah.
you...
So I can basically say that, I didn't know what I was doing. I'm learning every day. My approach for a while, when you put yourself into boxes, right? When you add constraints around the machine and you're saying, this is what we're going to have to work on as an early stage startup for 6 months or 12 months. Like, this is how I define or measure progress. Like, you're not going to basically go to the next inflection point of your business. And what I really mean when I say that is that when we first got started, we were focusing a lot on product development processes. We really weren't focused on iterative development, where you're building a product, doing a little bit of a sprint, you're testing the market development, and you're going back, right? Mm-hmm. And so we were measuring everything on kind of, 6 month, 8 month timeline or something like that to really build our solution and go to market. But how you should really think about it, I think how a lot of early stage founders and their startups, their teams should think about it, is getting a product, something, a set of features out in market, getting feedback, iterating really quickly, and just in two to four week sprints, excuse me.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, it was just kind of a go learn. And I think, what I talk a lot with people about is, don't be fucking perfect. You don't need to be perfect. In fact, waiting till perfection, you're going to miss the boat, because so much changes so fast. We live in highly technological age where things just happen. So get out, iterate, repeat. I love that. I find it impressive, right? I mean, I say you're kind of a millennial, like really that last year, the millennial, first year Gen Z entering that in the US market. And, I think when I came out of college, I was still in this phase of just like, last thing I wanted was run a business. Like, let me just get some money in my pocket and, still hang out. So, what did you feel like you sacrificed anything, or do you feel like it was your path and that's what it was and you didn't care?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's in the bad days, right, when things are really not happening or not the greatest movement in the business, you do think about some of the things you kind of gave up to do what you do. But there is no doubt in my mind that everything I've done up to this point is completely worth it. Everything I threw, because it's sheer the experience, right? It's the learnings. It's everything about the industry, everything I've done that I could speak to that. Now that I've done this, I know I could do it for any business I start in the future. Yeah. I just know exactly what I should be doing in the first week, 2 weeks, month, 2 months, exactly what's important, what's going to move the needle on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. To kind of point something out of like any business I decide to start, is there a goal at some point to start another business? Is prom just going to do for life? Are you wanting to sell it? Have you thought that far ahead of like, are you going to be like a multiple time founder, or thoughts around that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of my goal. Like, I think that I love to, take a new type of concept and be able to commercialize it, like obviously online or whatever technology. Doesn't have to be fancy. And I just love the process. Like, it's not even about any sort of money goal that could come out of it. Those are just outcomes, but it's just more about the sheer experience of actually doing it, not even with a CEO hat. Like, you just create something that you could, that has mass adoption, right? And that's the exciting part about looking back at it and saying, this is what we did.
So I kind of love that, because I think the important piece is that there's opportunity to take what you've learned and replicate that. And I think you made a good point of like following up the process. And, there's conversations go around depending on what coach you look at and talk to. It's like, you really got to be a goal setter, right? Goals and motivation. Motivation only takes you so far. Motivation does not create habits. Motivation inspires process. Process creates habits, right? And then habits create success.
Yeah.
And, some people are like, oh, you need to put a system in place, this thing. At the end of the day, it's, do you love the process? Because if you love the process, whatever goal, whatever process, whatever system you put in place, it becomes second nature, right? Because you get excited about, I get to go fucking figure something out that is hard, or I get to go solve a fucking problem today. Like, that shit is fun. And that mindset is, I think, unique. And so I love that you have this idea, like, look, I want to build the Promptuous, and then at some point either sell it, get absorbed, inquired, or, it could run in a different capacity. But at some point I know that I'm going to have that itch that I want to build something again. And, you know that you're going to be keeping your eye out. I mean, obviously this whole idea came from a blockchain class, which you look at blockchain now and you're like, makes sense of why I would kickstart. Like, how do we modernize something that is not modernized and annoying? With large. So I think this journey has been really intriguing. And so from the business perspective, you did start a Boost, which is where we met. You ran and did the Hap Day sales bootcamp and really took that to driving growth. So in 2020 and late 2020 and early 2021, what has happened as you see is like some of the big successes and where has that led you? We were talking pre-show, you got an accelerator program coming up. So why don't you walk me through what that led you into, and then we could talk a little bit about the business itself.
Yeah. So I would say summer of 2020, right? We were just finishing up a pilot program with a pretty big, large regional broker, but a big issue or a big topic, right, was how is Promptuous going to drive growth on a day-to-day basis with what we have now, right? Two guys, two founders, a very strong technical team, but how are two guys going to do this? And I would say that a lot of our mentors were posing those questions, and they were asking about how what is that process like? So we had to really build it for ourselves. So we were working with a few agencies, and so we had to say to ourselves, we had to test out the sales model out ourselves. And what does that look like? Okay. We're going to test things on LinkedIn campaigns, email campaigns, and then we weren't really having a lot of success. You know, our business model of how we create our customers is through, and it's actually standard in our industry, is through insurance agency channel partnerships. So we work with a lot of resellers to sell our products, right? That's the overall strategy of how we scale. So we had to figure out, okay, how do we get to these decision makers at these agencies? How do we reach them? And so we tried a lot of things that didn't work and didn't have a lot of success. And then we were on a call with one of our mentors. He's a VP of sales at a Series A stage AR company, right? That I think they do something like maybe a few hundred thousand dollars in MRR, scaling unbelievable growth metrics. Guy knows what he's doing. And he said, it's not like I didn't know this, but he's like, why don't you try cold calling, right? Why don't you try that? And, it's kind of like the awkward topic that nobody wants to, like a last resort thing. Like, you feel weird about picking up the phone and calling someone and marketing your services. And there's been a lot of resentment against it in, industry. But hey, we tried it. It was very daunting. Kudos to my co-founder, Phil, who, he just got going with it. I was having instant success. I mean, instant. We were getting meetings set up, and it was what was working. It was our model, and we baked it into our, our execution on a day-to-day basis. We made, 10 to 30 calls a day. Mm-hmm. We know that we could get 2 to 3 meetings set up from that. We start to know that what percentage of those conversations progressed to a partnership discussion and then proposal to a relevant opportunity and all the way down the funnel to a close. Yeah. So That was basically it. That was our model. So that's a big milestone in terms of figuring out that funnel, validating it, and now we know what we need to do if we're going out and we're looking for investment. Where are we going to put our money? We're going to put it into sales, marketing. How are we going to do that? And say the other big thing. So we just got into an accelerator program, Expert Dojo.
I wonder
We
who's
are
a mentor
stuck.
for that
And Rob here is a mentor for
program.
that program. So super excited where things are going. It's a great program, healthcare oriented, and it's just focused on growth, scale, scaling and growth and
I'm
sales.
excited. So, I love it. I mean, it's funny because I had no idea right until pre-call. It's like, hey, here's something. Oh, yeah, we got in this accelerator program. I was like, which one? Expert Dojo? Fuck, dude. I'm a mentor. He's like, yeah, I know. I read through the curriculum. And I was like, sales with Rob Napoli. Let's go. But, there's this big focus on sales, right? You talk about you got to love the process. And with anything that's disrupting an industry, especially with big players, you have to really work at that process. And you just walked us through what you did over the last year and you picked up the damn phone. And I think that's a bit of a lost art in today's automation world. And yes, there's people are like, oh, email's dead. Email's not dead. Cold calling's dead. Cold calling is not dead. Video prospecting, all of it. You got to have a multi-channel approach. And at the end of the day, where are your customers? Right? And the fact of the matter is, you and your co-founder, Phil, picked up the phone and had conversations. And you drove business forward because people wanted to talk about this over the phone. Plain and simple. And I think for anyone that's out there listening, is just because you sit on an email campaign or a LinkedIn campaign and no one responds, doesn't mean that it's not validated. It doesn't mean it's a bad idea. Try other ways. Pick up the phone. Give it time to validate product market fit. Because, Josh, as you were just saying, you had when you started that boot camp in the summer of 2020, one major pilot. Since then, you've got a number of companies and sales out of it and pilots on the ongoing that we talked about pre-show. And what people don't realize is that the business had been going since we met in 2018 during the Startup Boost program. That's 4 years of growing this business and defining, from when you stepped off that stage, that we're taking this rocket ship to defining a team and the product and go to market, to taking it to market, to testing, to running through a pre-accelerator, to running through a boot camp, to now leading up to an accelerator. It takes time, energy, and effort. I think we're so quick to dismiss things. So from that standpoint, over these 4 years of taking this to market, do you ever think about quitting?
There have been times, right, where it's been really bad where you don't see a path forward, right? It's hard to see a path with funding at honestly at the early stages, right? Because you don't have customers. And I think what has driven me forward is my willpower to say no and not listen to that voice in my inner head and to keep going, right? To take it another day forward. And frankly, I've had advisors that have drilled this into my head very early on, but sales is the best investment that you're ever going to get, right? That's the best thing. It's either sell or die. And I don't think that a lot of founders really appreciate that and put it into practice because you never know when you're going to get your next investment dollar. But you know that there's sales out there and people willing to give you money for your products and services. So chase that.
So what you just said makes my heart sing, because so many times, and I know you can't get funding without sales, you can't drive sales without money, and it's this whole big, catch 22 that founders grow into, but put money into sales. Sell as a founder. Because if you can sell it as a founder, you can teach others how to do it. And a lot of times we have founders that aren't sellers. They want to be technical and they're like, oh, the product will sell itself. What do you mean the product's gonna sell itself? Oh, the total addressable market. I don't give a fuck about the total addressable market. I know it's big. Only time they care they were checking off is that it's not too niche. Oh, it's a $1 billion market? Cool. Most markets are. Some investors won't invest in smaller niche addressable markets, maybe 500,000, or sorry, 500, million. For whatever reason, because the ROI, cool. So it's a $1 billion market, cool. No one else cares. Oh, we're gonna get 2% of that win in 3 to 5 years. You're fucking not. The first year you got to get brand awareness. The second year, all these things. And I just laugh because it's like, oh, we're going to have profitability in 2 years or 3 years because we have a billion-dollar market. We're going to get 2% in 2 years. Why? Your product's just that good? Oh, no, we're cheaper and faster. Who cares? Because once you start selling it, you're no longer going to be cheaper. Like, what is that difference? And, there's a post other people talk about it. I think it was Greg Larkin posted it this morning or yesterday. Don't pitch ideas, pitch outcomes. And so
Exactly.
that mentality of sales first is that when you're talking to an investor, an advisor, or a founder, or whatever, and you're pitching outcomes, maybe you don't have traction. Maybe you don't have sales. Do you have traction? Yes. Hey, we have no sales. Okay. That's bad. No, we have 60 calls in the last 3 months. We have 15 letters of intent of potentially going into pilots. We have 25 demos scheduled for next week alone. You don't think that's exciting? I mean, that's traction. And we're like, oh shit, because that really leads into sales, right?
Yeah,
And
it
so that
does.
mentality of, hey, we're going to focus on sales. The best thing we could invest our time, energy, and dollars into, because that's going to cure everything, especially in the B2B segment.
Yep,
And then I like that you
exactly.
said, I have the mindset to keep grinding, keep pushing forward, good and the bad. And that also, you talk a lot about really good advisors. One of the things that I tell everyone I work with is, look, you're sitting down with me because I have something of value for you. Remember, I am not in your shoes every day. You can tell me to go kick rocks for all I care. You don't have to listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to share from my perspective. It's your job to filter that and take what you think is good and what is not. And that it's really easy. It's like, oh, you're, a young entrepreneur. You should just take all this advisor's ideas and take it and run with it. It's like, no, you also have to have that mentality to tell people no and say, hey, look, thanks for the feedback. Thanks for that piece of information. I still think I'm right, and have that grit and determination,
Exactly.
which you prove that by you and your co-founder 30 calls a day, picking up the phone and driving
And
that
that's the way
forward.
you get the best feedback. Look, the best feedback, we like, what are those questions that customers are asking that you're going to put on your website, that you're going to address your, like, that's how you learn the fastest, is talking with customers directly at the market, hearing what they're saying. And that's what prevents you from building a product for 3 years, let's just say, and then finally going to market and then hearing that it's not addressing whatever pain points and not relevant. So.
Yeah. I love that. I love that attitude. And that's what we need more of, because that's that mindset piece. 'Cause you're right. I mean, everyone's like, oh, what if they like have an objection? Cool. If they have an objection, that means you're hitting on something that you need to be digging into. You need to understand why they're having that objection. Understand what that pain's around. Those are things like if they actually push back, that's probably a good sign that something you said sparked them. Otherwise,
They're
like, no, not
engaged.
interested. Yeah. I mean, we're so quick to be like, no, objection done. Like, they're not interested. So I know we're getting close to time, but as we look at Promptuous as a business, right? Changing the dental benefits game, and you've got all these things kind of rolling. What is your plan? You've got the program coming up in the fall. What is your plan as you look at the back half of 2021? And what are some of those things that you're like, 2021 will be a successful year if? And how would you finish that sentence?
It's a great question. So, we are really looking to expand our team. We're bringing on a lead VP of sales to really, now we understand the process, we understand what we need to do. We're trying to grow our sales team to maximize growth. So what we're really looking at is our KPIs really met it is the sheer members that we could get on the platform. So that is a straight up outcome. Can we get that based on our day-to-day efforts? We believe we can. We have around 32 agencies that we are partnered with today in around 8 different states. We need to get to 70. We know that if we get to 70, just again, based off the sheer number of calls we're making and agencies we're getting introduced to, we're going to hit our revenue milestones. But we're also launching some pretty interesting products to, just again, it's about, like, we talk about figuring things out in the beginning and that product market fit. But I think a lot of startups are always just kind of figuring out who they really are, right? So we're experimenting with a lot of cool products where sometimes you go to market, talk with a set of customers like we're talking to now, and you're realizing, okay, maybe our this product that we're offering is not the best fit for who they are and where they want to be and their goals. So we're actually, we've heard some similar feedback in the market, and we're launching another alternative, a lot slim version of our current offering. We're launching that product in the market, which, you know, just to quickly say really what that is at the end of the day, we're offering a prepaid dental benefit program that any small business can offer. How does it work? You could load your, you could give a designated benefit of 100, 200, whatever you want to give to your employees. We provide a debit card. It's right here. They could go to any dentist they want, right? And swipe this card. If they go to an in-network dentist, they get discounts, right? This is just complete alternative to dental benefits, traditional insurance. And it's super simple, super easy. So it's something that our customers have been asking for in the market. So we're launching it, something we're really excited about. The other thing I will just say is another product that we're looking to launch for individuals. And that's just a dental discount program. So we have a huge network of dentists that have offered to accept negotiated rates. We have a bunch of partners who are doing that. We turn around those discounts and allow everyday folks to buy into a membership program. So we're super excited about that.
That's super awesome. I remember when I first heard this, it was like all kind of like gibberish because it wasn't quite well defined. And like to hear you say it now and thinking about, you know, new products and innovation off it is just absolutely amazing, because you really understand, coming back to it, talking to these customers, what they need, what they're going to buy into, you know, 32 agencies across 8 states, just, you know, we're sitting here in August, you're just under 50% of that 70 number, looking at, you know, a strong fall. That's amazing. And I think, you know, it's really interesting that you said 8 states. Are you just targeting like the Northeast to start and then kind of rolling out across, or did you have, let's just go after everything, or do you have a plan of that rollout?
Yeah. It's more revolved around compliance, right? So we're looking at the states that we can legally operate and do business in. So New York, Alabama, Colorado, Virginia, District of Columbia. So those states. And then we have other states that we have agencies in who they have clients in the states I just mentioned. So it's all good. But really, we're looking at a lot at Colorado and New York, Virginia are the hot stakes where we're focusing our day-to-day efforts.
Love to hear it. And you know, anyone listening at Bear Nation, if they haven't found somebody when this comes out in September, they're hiring, give Josh a call, make sure that his information is in the show notes. So, you know, Josh, it's really exciting to hear what you have on track for 2021 with growth and accelerator program, with the team, with, you know, new products. So it's exciting. You know, be sure to be following along and seeing, you know, how Bear Nation can step up and help. You know, as we end the show, there's a few questions I always like to ask my entrepreneurs to answer for me. So without further ado, what do you think your superpower is?
Yeah, I think my superpower is, at the end of the day, it may sound pretty simple, but perseverance, right? If you don't have perseverance, I don't think you have anything. As long as if you can land on your back, they say, you can look up to the sky, you can get up. So I think that if you have that, it doesn't matter. Life's going to have challenges. Life's going to throw a lot of crap in your face, and you need that. So I would say that before anything else.
Love it. What is one piece of advice that you would give, you know, a Gen Z or millennial entrepreneur right now?
So I would say in the context of entrepreneurship and starting your own business, you know, I would say the biggest thing is really, you know, Stephen Blank said it best himself, but, you know, get out of the classroom or get out of the room, talk to as many customers as possible. Don't think about the investment outcomes or raising a lot of money or something like that. Just try and launch a successful, viable business that people are willing to, you know, pay for your products and services. And from there, you understand your unit economics. You can really take a concept far. turn it into a business and scale it and add some, if you're passionate about technology, it's all about the people, processes, and ITs. So if you understand those processes, you could build a great, fantastic, sticky experience around that. And I believe that's possible with any business today.
Love it. What is one book, resource, or show or piece of content that you'd recommend to check out right now? What you've been vibing
on? Yeah, that's a pretty good thought. I would say there's a really great book that I read by Mark Roberge that I think it is the Sales Acceleration Formula, right? Mm-hmm. That is a fantastic book that really teaches you about scaling that sales and marketing team as an early stage company. And you know, how building a sales team is and hiring salespeople is just, it's a challenge, obviously getting that fit, getting the right fit, creating that culture. And also I think the other chapters were really significant in just mentioning, you know, I talked a lot about outbound sales today, and you know, that's all great. I think what's really fascinating is also that a lot about inbound, right? So like inbound marketing, you know, how to create that system that really can attract a lot of cold, warm leads and convert them to your business. So that's a fantastic book.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a bonus book for you to check out since you just talked about it. You know, we talk a lot about marketing and inbound, but before you can really get a lot of inbound marketing, you got to create hype and create your own hype. And so there's a book that I've been vibing with by Michael Shine called The Hype Handbook. I literally read this thing 3 times. And it's all about how do you really build your own hype and really drive it forward. So if you haven't checked that out, and for all my listeners, The Hype Handbook by Michael Shine, it's just a great book in terms of creating that awareness. I have a bonus question for you, because I was going to ask this earlier, but you made some really great points. I didn't want to like come back to this, but thinking about, you started a business right out of school, right? It's like bachelor's, master's. You also studied abroad a little bit. If I'm not mistaken, it was China, right?
Yeah, I studied abroad in Beijing.
Beijing, right? So you got to spend some time in Beijing. You know, you worked for your dad, obviously, who had his own practice. So you've seen entrepreneurship. You know, thinking about your school and education into what you stepped out into, is there anything that you felt like there was a disconnect from school to the real world? And is there anything that you'd go back and tell yourself, you know, when you graduated, that you wish you could look back and tell yourself today?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. I think that, you know, a lot of courses in school are, and I've been in plenty of business and entrepreneurship classes, and they're great. You know, you learn a lot, but there is a, you know, building a business plan and things like that. Like, frankly, I'm just going to say it, and I think there's a lot of people who share this sentiment. Like, I don't believe in writing a 50-page business plan, because everything you're going to do, you're going to learn so much. And all those projections, all those numbers, like the market research is good, but I think that it is too academic. And I think that it doesn't focus enough on the very basic things that you need to really like actually start a business. Like, sales is not taught in school at all. Like, I learned nothing about sales. I didn't know anything. And I think that to sell is one of the best things that you need to know. So I think that when that's just one thing, I think that a lot of schools need to put into practice. Like, there was a great entrepreneurship course that I was in my master's program. And it really taught, like, it was revolved around actually build an MVP, go out, talk to customers, and then we're going to go back the next course. And what did the customers say? What are they saying about this product? Let's help you get there. Let's help you get to a yes. Let's help you get sales. And you don't really find a lot of courses like that. I would say, you know, looking back, so the question, if I understand you correctly, if I could tell myself one thing looking back,
yeah,
what would I tell myself? And I think what I would tell myself is, honestly, put together a concept, right? Put together a concept. The market is, if you're in a huge market, right? It doesn't matter if you have one person that tells you no in a sales opportunity, right? So put together a concept, put together the marketing collateral, forget the product, right? Okay, just forget the product that it's there, it exists. Try and sell it. Try and sell this product and see if you could get to a yes, right? Because if you could do that and talk to 100 people and X amount of them say yes, you're on to something. If 0 out of 100 say no, you just get so much further off of lean product development from a
Well, I love that because, I took a sales course because it was an elective. It was a night class. It was a 1 hour a week night class as an elective because I wanted to learn how to sell better. Like as a but just a personality thing, and I needed that like, as elective for my major. But you're right; they don't really teach sales. Like, I taught marketing. You teach it as a whole. It's a whole division. It's a whole major. I have a master's in marketing as well as I have a bachelor's and a master's in marketing. And you think that for us, the fact that sales is the most important job. It's your revenue producing business. We're not really teaching enough of it. But I agree, right? Like I understand the why you create a 50-page business plan and like from a process mindset, but like investors like, no, give me like a 10-page deck. Like I don't want to fucking see 25 pages. So like, okay, write a 50-page business plan, but when you actually give an investor deck, give me 10 slides with addendums in case I have questions. I feel like it's two different schools of thoughts, right? Short and concise because you need to have flexibility. It's like, what are your core business platforms and just take it, test it, talk, sell. And you got something. So I love that as a message. What's your well, what's your lasting message that you want listeners to take away from today?
Yeah, so I would definitely just say, like, whatever you have in your head today and you're thinking about commercializing and taking it out, take the first step. Don't be afraid to do it. Try something. If you try and nothing happens, worst comes to worst is you're going to learn, right? You're going to become a better person. We don't focus enough on self-development today. Myself, I want to get better every single year as a human being and who I am and my skill sets and my experience. So that only comes from taking the leap of faith. And I think I just say that all the time. So, you need to do it. And also don't get to the end of life living, being regretful, right? Don't look back on the things that you didn't end up doing. Take the step today, and as you guys say, make it today. Do it, do it, do it today.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. And yeah, I think that's a great final message because invest in yourself and go make it happen. Because what we don't realize is what is the negative net effect if you're in the same place a year from now? Right? Like if you're in the same place you are today, a year from now, what is that negative net effect? It's not a positive effect. You haven't grown. Right, in any shape or form. So I love that final message of go make it happen and go get it out and do it today. Like you can't wait. There's no you make it
Do
happen.
it
Cool. No,
today. Yeah.
get it done
Try
today.
to
I love
sell
it.
today. Try to sell to
Hey, my
like pick up the phone today. Like that
guy.
is, like why, okay, it's a Friday at 4 o'clock. Why can't we still make cold calls? Like, I'm gonna wait till
Yeah.
Monday. No, do it right now.
I mean, Monday they're going to be inundated. You might catch them before they go grab a beer. So,
100%.
Josh, thank you so much. Love the energy for sharing your journey, sharing so much about process and kind of how you went about building this. And love hearing all the success. I'll obviously be seeing you here in a month or two when the Expert Dojo program kicks off. Bear Nation, I will make sure to connect you to Josh. Josh, how can people find you? What platforms could they be connecting with you on?
Yeah, I would say if you're on LinkedIn, Josh Jackson, send me a request. I don't hold back. So, always love connecting with new people. You could follow me on Twitter and Instagram as well. And my username for that, Josh Jackson as well. And Promptus, just I'll spell Promptus, Promptous. Follow our page, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. And then, check out our website. And I would just say if there's any business owners here, right, like get and you're looking at adding a cost-effective, really easy dental benefit that your team is just going to love, hit us up. We'd love to learn more about what you guys are doing and evaluate if we're the right partner for you.
Love it. Well, I will make sure to put all those in the show notes so they can connect with you and drive the conversation forward. Josh, once again, thank you for being a part of Baron Nation. Excited to see what you and Promptus continue to do. And I know that you shared this with me right before the show, but congratulations on your recent engagement. I'm super excited for you and your, you know, bride to be. So congrats, brother.
Yeah, thanks so much, Rob. Thanks for having me on. This has been awesome.
Appreciate it. Baron Nation, if you like this episode, make sure you subscribe on Apple and Spotify. And if you're on Apple, please leave a review and let us know what you think. Until the next episode, stay well. Baron Nation, once again, thank you for listening to the Bare Necessities of Entrepreneurship. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a review. And until next time, take care.